Would you please pray with me? Open our hearts and minds, O God, that we may hear your word this day with joy and be ever changed by it, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and I'll be reading the English Standard Version today. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of a field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week we talked about the Advent season being a time of hopeful watching. In the Navy, the watch is a pretty big deal. Every sailor stands the watch, looking out for the welfare of the community in which he or she serves. In fact, it's a tradition when a sailor retires for his or her shipmates to come together and comment on that sailor's good service, assuring him or her that they now have the watch. In order to help illustrate what the watch is and what it means, I'd like to share with you a poem that is often read at retirement ceremonies for naval officers. For 20 years, this sailor has stood the watch. While some of us were in our bunks at night, this sailor stood the watch. While some of us were in school learning our trade, this shipmate stood the watch. Yes, even before some of us were born into this world, this shipmate stood the watch. In those years when the storm clouds of war were seen blowing on the horizon of history, this shipmate stood the watch. Many times he would cast an eye ashore and see his family standing there, needing his guidance and help, needing that hand to hold during those hard times. But he still stood the watch. He stood the watch for 20 years. He stood the watch so that we, our families, and our fellow countrymen could sleep soundly in safety each and every night, knowing that a sailor stood the watch. Today we are here to say, shipmate, the watch stands relieved. Relieved by those you have trained, guided, and led. Shipmate, you stand relieved. We have the watch. Standing the watch sounds somewhat easy and mundane, but it really isn't. Standing the watch when everyone else sleeps, when you too want some much-needed rest, is hard. It requires mental acuity and toughness. Yet the watch is also an honor and a privilege. The community is dependent upon the watchmen for their safety. The fact that someone is keeping watch is what allows the community to rest at ease. The season of Advent is like a sailor's watch. It's a time where we, in hopeful expectation, await the coming of our Lord and Savior. It is a time for us to keep alert and to keep awake as to how God is moving in the world around us. The people of Israel in Isaiah's day had much need of hope. They had been watching and waiting for many years for the appearance of the promised one who would free them from the oppressive forces that engulfed them. The Messiah, or anointed one, that they awaited was to be a great political leader who would overthrow their enemies and thus bring peace to the land of Israel. After years and years of captivity and hardship in Babylon, Isaiah speaks a word of tenderness to the people. God assures them that their punishment is over, that their time of captivity is at an end, that there will be peace at last. It's a word that we long to hear today. After 16 years of war with no end in sight, we long for peace. As we continue to recognize the injustices done to our brothers and sisters around the world, we long for peace. As we witness the pain of our fellow Americans who fall victim to racism, oppression, violence, we long for transcending peace. We cry, "Surely our time has ended. Surely we have served our term." We long for Isaiah's word to Israel to be God's word to us, with the coming of our Savior. Isaiah says, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Why the wilderness?" Of all the places to prepare for God, the wilderness hardly seems ideal. But let's think about wilderness experiences for a few minutes. The wilderness and the desert were places of trial and tribulation. Moses and Joshua led the people of Israel through the wilderness prior to entering the promised land. It was a time of refinement for the people of Israel, a time of testing and a time of preparation. God wanted them to learn how to live together under his reign before he gave them land of their own, because God knew how easily they would be corrupted by political societies. Jesus, too, went to the wilderness where he was tempted. The wilderness is a place of testing and trial, but it's also a place where people often heard a word from God. The Hebrew term for wilderness is midbar, which is very similar to the word davar. And the word davar means word. There's a prefix that's attached to make it midbar that means from. So I wonder if the word midbar came into existence in the Hebrew language because it was in the wilderness that the people heard a word from God. So what does Isaiah mean when he says, "In the desert prepare the way of the Lord"? Isaiah is calling the people of Israel to be active in their watchkeeping. He's telling them that they need to be preparing for the Messiah, even in the place where life is hard. He is calling them to prepare mind, body, and soul for the coming of the Anointed One, who will restore peace. He continues, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain made low, and the rough places a plain." In the times leading up to the birth of Christ, when an important person was coming to town, a few things would happen. First, messengers were sent to all of the villages, announcing the impending arrival of the king or leader. While those messengers were doing their work, Other workers began leveling the roads, literally leveling the places, so that the leader could have an unimpeded journey to his destination. They would literally lay low the mountains and raise up the valleys. These messengers, these watchmen, would prepare the people so that the people would then be able to properly greet the great leader. And the people would make sure that the journey of that leader was as easy as possible. You know, I find every time I read Isaiah 40, I can't help but read it with Handel's Messiah playing in my head. The tenor line outlining this cry of comfort and preparation in the wilderness before the other voices join in the expression of God's glory. At the beginning of this movement, the musical line takes a peaceful tone. Handel, it seems, knew what Isaiah 40 was getting at. A proclamation of comfort to the people who had already endured so much. It subtly expresses the grief associated with the exile that Israel experienced, and is followed by the preparation that the Israelites were to make while in the wilderness. The score reaches its climax in the next movement, when the glory of God is described in his laying low of the mountains and raising up of the valleys, thus bringing all peoples to level footing with God, so that all flesh will see this glory together. Here, future hope is expressed for what the coming Messiah will look like. Handel's masterful composition puts the scripture of Isaiah 40 in a setting where the listener is able to enter into an emotional experience with the people of Israel. If you haven't listened to this movement of Handel's Messiah, it's the first movement, I encourage you to listen to it sometime during this Christmas season. After so long in exile, I can see how difficult it might be for the people of Israel to hear such a word of hope from Isaiah. Their situation was hopeless. As we read this morning, there was a shift in the dialogue in which the word of God is compared to the flesh. Flesh is temporal. It's the thing most likely to fail in the wilderness. As we weak human beings succumb to the elements and hardship of wilderness wandering. But Isaiah has an answer of further comfort for the people. Isaiah responds to the question of the temporal nature of the flesh by saying that the grass may wither and the flower fade, but the word of God is forever. Isaiah is telling the people that God's word is true and trustworthy. He is telling them that indeed their time in exile is nearing its end and that the Messiah is coming. Peace is on the horizon. And so their job is to prepare by keeping watch right where they are. The same call to keep watch applies to us today. It's not a call to have our heads in the clouds about lofty ideals about what God's second coming will look like, about what Jesus' return will look like. Those are difficult to grasp. Rather, it's a call to remain alert in the here and the now, in the everyday circumstances that surround us. Isaiah's call to Israel was to keep the watch, to stand awake and alert to the working of God in their midst, and to ready themselves for the coming of the Anointed One. We too are called to stand watch and expectantly await the return of our Lord right where we are. It means that we are to keep watch for God in the faces of our homeless brothers and sisters, in the faces of those of different religious and political perspectives from our own, in the faces of those of a different race and culture from our own, and in the faces of the oppressed, downtrodden, and grief-stricken in our communities. Where do we look for God's advent in the world? We look to the least of these in our midst. Just as Jesus was first made known to lowly shepherds, so he will likely to be found today in those places where we might least expect to find him. It is then in the unexpected where we are to keep watch and be ready to alert the community that we have seen the King. We are a people of hope, and so as we keep watch, we do so in the hopeful expectation that Christ will make himself known to us in those whom we encounter. Where will you see Jesus this Christmas season? Perhaps it will be in the place that you least expect it. So keep watch, keep awake, keep alert, and stand the watch so that you might be ready to welcome our Lord when and whence he comes. Amen.